Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
We need them. Yeah, we need those strategies, don't we?
We sure could. We could always use them.
Yeah, we can always use strategies. Strategies for living. Are you ready? You ready for your daily dose of radio rehab? I think Jay Merle is.
I'm ready.
You stay ready.
Yeah. Locked and loaded.
There you go. How is it that a guy like Benjamin Franklin never got elected president?
He never ran.
Okay. Are you sure about that?
Yeah,
is that true?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure about it.
Yeah. I guess he didn't want to. But he's one of the smartest guys in the history of our country.
Absolutely. I'd imagine he'd get bored of it, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. You know, he probably would have.
I think
that's probably the kind of guy he was.
An administrator type guy.
No. Yeah.
He was an inventor, an entrepreneur.
He was an adventurer.
Yeah.
American polymath, writer, scientist, inventor, statesman, diplomat, printer, publisher, political philosopher.
Mm.
I mean, does it get any better than that?
It's a lot.
That's it. Yeah. I mean, how much do we, just in the invention sense, how much is credited to Benjamin Franklin?
I mean, inventions and systems.
Yeah.
And ideas.
Electricity.
That we still use today.
Yeah. Well, he flew a kite.
Yeah, he did.
So they say.
Yeah, so they say, yeah. So you've collected some Benjamin Franklin.
Oh, he got some $100 bills to bring in here?
Pretty funny. Jay didn't bring any Benjamin Franklin.
I'll take those Franklins off
your hand. He didn't bring any of that today,
no.
But he brought
something better.
Something more valuable.
Yes. Yes.
He brought some of Benjamin Franklin's wisdom today. And, you know, we can always use a refresher on wisdom, can't we?
Absolutely.
So we're gonna dive into one of our founding fathers and what he still has to teach us. Some of his inventions, lightning rod, the bifocals, the hand paddle, his electrostatic machine. I mean, this guy, he was something else, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
So Benjamin Franklin and his wisdom today on strategies for living. Folks, thank you for being here with us. We appreciate it, and we appreciate our sponsors making it all possible. The Robinson Film Center, Azalea Cleaners, Pintail Roofing, Learning RX, the Balanced Life Wellness Center, and Fertitta's Delicatessen, home of the Godfather, Alligator Italian Sausage, and some pretty good Muffies, too. Back in a moment, the wisdom of old Ben today here on Strategies.
Jay and David, the find our way. day. They help us think healthy and make us smile too. They bring out the strategies just for you. Strategies for living radio. Strategies for living radio. Your daily dose of radio we have.
Wise and witty. A level of intelligence that was way ahead of his time. No, I'm not talking about Jay Merle.
He may as well be.
Yeah, it could be. No, I'm talking. Jay Merle brought this to us, though. So, I mean, he does deserve credit as a, if not genius, like Benjamin Franklin. No. Franklin, let's say semi.
I just recognize
semi-genius.
That's there you go. Well,
I think I know this show. I know what appeals to you and Lauren.
Yeah.
And y'all know what appeals to our audience.
I hope so.
I think you do. Yeah. How many years has it been?
Let's see. September.
Almost 33.
Will be 33. There's some date in September. I'll have to look it up. It's the 14th.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it'll, there you go.
33, our 33rd birthday as a program on the 14th of September, which also happens to be somebody else in this room's very important birthday, but we won't name any names.
No.
But
just
anyway,
yet.
Yeah. Not.
We'll have an on-air celebration.
There you go.
There you go.
You know, Benjamin Franklin was certainly a genius, and he was charming. He had a very poetic way with words, obviously. And
he's one of those characters I would love to go back. And
wouldn't you love to sit down?
Meet in the day, because, you know, over the years, we put a lot of facade around people based on, you know, what they did and contributed. But I think Ben Franklin was a pretty raucous guy to party with too.
He liked girls a lot.
Yeah. And I think they liked him.
So there was I think it was Madame de Pompadour. He made a move on her and she just laughed.
Yeah. Oh, poor Ben. Well, some of his wisdom, we need to revisit as often as we can. So we're going to throw out some of his words of wisdom today and, you know, kind of dialogue about them. I'll throw out one here first. You may delay, but time will not.
For all you procrastinators out there.
You don't say.
When I was in the fifth grade, my fifth grade teacher, she actually, Mrs. Hutchinson, I don't think she liked me, and I didn't like her. But thankfully, she was married to a guy from Barksdale, so I only had to put up with her, and she only had to put up with me for 9 weeks.
Right.
Because he got transferred, and then we got a new teacher.
You're still carrying this, aren't you?
I'm still carrying. Well, when I came into fifth grade, and it was a turning point because I always had liked school.
Yeah.
Until that first 9 weeks of fifth grade.
Yeah.
And the first day of fifth grade, I looked back at the clock, and there was a sign underneath the clock that said, "Time passes. Will you?"
For real?
Yeah, for real. She put that up there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was never in question for me that I would pass. Mm. The question for me is, you know, would I be on the A honor roll or the B honor roll? I was a pretty decent student, you know. But that just pissed me off. Pissed me off. So, you know, I didn't. But anyway, I didn't throw a party or anything because I was only in the fifth grade. But, you know.
Don't let the door hit you.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I guess it was trauma that I've got. She gave me my first D.
Oh.
Yeah,
sure,
she gave me
my first
D in English, And of course, your parents that first 9 weeks have to go and meet with the teacher. Mm-hmm. And she tells my mother, I gave him a D. He doesn't deserve a D. He deserves better than a D. And my mother said, well, why did you give him a D? She said, I'm motivating him. So I, again, I, you know, yeah. I probably still have some trauma to work out. Anyway, back to Benjamin.
You turned out all right.
Yeah, I turned out okay, in spite of Mrs. Hutchinson. Okay, so you may delay, but time will not. Time waits for no one, does it?
No, and yet it's everlasting, right?
Yeah.
It's one of those
what
paradoxes.
What a paradox, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where, you know, the present is ever present, and yet we are here contained within finite bodies, you know, that have a limited time on Earth.
And we have no control of that.
Right. Yeah.
We have no control of aging. Yeah. Well, we have no control.
I was visiting with a person yesterday who is an implementer, a kind of a fire-ready aim type of personality. And we were talking about, you know, my mate can relax and play games and watch a movie, and I can't do that. You know, I can't. I'm too. So
yeah.
I guess that there's a balance that we have to, you know, give to ourselves and offer ourselves when it comes to time. We do need some sense of urgency because sooner or later, our time will end, and it will end abruptly, probably. You know.
Well. When we least expect it.
When our
often,
expiration
right?
date is.
None of us know that time.
It is, yeah.
Day,
yeah.
Right?
Well, most of us don't.
And yet, on the other side of that, we do our most work, our best work, when we allow ourselves to relax without the sense of urgency.
And again, talk about paradoxical, isn't that?
Yeah.
Isn't that so,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So, it's again, that's why I throw in the word balance,
yeah,
you know?
It's important.
And I didn't deserve a damn D in my English. You know, I really didn't.
Lauren, do you think he's still nursing that resentment?
I don't know. I can't tell.
I can't either.
Well, I didn't. He doesn't deserve a D.
But this also reminds
of all the things.
I've got one of those from graduate school. I think I shared it with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you don't think when you feel like you've been wronged.
Yeah.
You know, and you have been, you know, to your uncertain knowledge that wasn't right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well,
you know, maybe you don't dwell on it and let it eat you up, but it's hard to turn loose of.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's one of those skills I guess we all have to learn.
There you go.
Yeah. All right. An investment in knowledge pays the best interest.
Absolutely.
Was Benjamin a banker?
He thought about it a lot.
Yeah, he probably did. Well, I guess
he understood compound interest.
Yeah. Most of our founding fathers would have been very wealthy individuals, you know, or could have been, mm-hmm. you know, had the ability to be.
Yeah.
You know, an investment in knowledge pays the best interest. We earn money and we lose money. How many millionaires have we been told about and, you know, we know have made a fortune and lost fortunes?
Happens a lot.
Yeah.
It goes along with risk taking.
Yeah.
And the entrepreneurial spirit.
But, and so money, my point is that money comes, money goes.
Right.
Money can be taken away from you, but
knowledge
can't.
No.
That was one of the greatest things that my father instilled in me. He always told me that knowledge is something that no one can take away from you. And what that always made me, you know, of course, I valued education, but that further, you know, down the line as I grew, it made me think, okay, maybe the best things in life are the things that people can't take away from you.
Yeah.
And, you know, the other things that can go into that bucket, such as personal power, your self-esteem, all of those things that people can't take away from you unless you allow them to.
Right.
But knowledge is one of the greatest things that we can afford for ourselves. And curiosity, right?
Amen. Amen. Talk about return on ROI, return on investment, right?
Yeah.
So knowledge has an unlimited return on investment.
Because there's so many ways you can apply it. Oh, wait, that works here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, let me plug that in.
Yeah.
And that if you keep waking up, you finally, and this takes time, you know, wisdom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, you know, we have the kid that we homeschool, and he often asks, when am I ever going to use this, right? and one of the things that I've noticed personally in my life, sure, there's lots of facts and figures that I really don't ever use anymore in my daily life.
Right.
But
you're talking about facts and figures that you'd learned back in the day in school.
In grade school. And some even in high school and college. But the process, it was the process of learning
thinking.
And acquiring that knowledge and actually applying that knowledge and those ideas, even in different avenues, have greatly enriched my life.
Yeah, have you ever had a situation where, you know, you go through a process of thinking, you know, like you would do solving an algebra problem,
right?
Or a geometry
proof. Yeah.
You know, and then you apply that same
step by step
idea to a problem, let's say, in business or a problem in your relationship or in your family.
Yeah.
And you just begin to take it apart. And as you take it apart, certain ideas emerge that you wouldn't have had otherwise, right?
Or you could apply it to a different, formal logic as an example is really kind of a form of math.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And, that's one of the best courses I ever took in college.
We are talking today about the wisdom of one of our most famous founding fathers who never got to be president, but he could have, I think.
Yeah.
Benjamin Franklin.
What a different view we might have on him.
Yeah, very true. Very true. We're talking about that today here on Strategies for Living. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Welcome back into Strategies for Living. Time passes with you. Still pisses me off.
Why are you?
It just beyond.
I know, it wasn't right.
I need counseling.
Clearly.
Well, do you know anybody?
Yeah, well, I've got a couple here.
Yeah.
You guys don't seem to be helping me, though.
Well,
eating my lunch over here.
Okay. I got a B.
Yeah.
In graduate school.
Yeah.
That I should have gotten an A.
Yeah.
And I shared that on this program. We
you
were
did,
in
you
studio.
Did. Yeah, you did.
And it really pissed me off.
Yeah, yeah.
It was totally political.
Yeah. Mm. But yeah, because you expressed a...
I was a guy.
You were...
This, that's the problem.
Okay.
I had the wrong chromosome set.
Yeah, yeah. Was there nothing but other females in the class? And the professor was a...
There were a couple of guys, but you know, there were younger guys.
Yeah. So they didn't.
I mean,
they didn't come to your defense, right?
Heck no. So I've always been a mouthy kid, you know, and I express my opinion.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's not.
Yeah.
It's true. And sometimes it's just
no
not.
Misogyny there, right?
Yeah. No, it's not. Don't even you.
Yeah, don't even use that word.
Getting him started.
I'm getting him going. I'm getting him stirred.
Twist that.
Anyway.
Yeah.
All right. I'll turn loose.
Okay. Yeah.
I never walk out on the street in front of me. Just kidding.
Lord.
We are talking about the wisdom of Benjamin Franklin. I'm not sure that old Ben could help Jay or I with our graduate school and fifth grade issues, but respectively. But, you know, maybe he could.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that he said was, well done is better than well said.
Oh, yeah.
Now, how does that fit into what we were just talking about? I didn't do that on purpose either.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. I really didn't.
Just get around to it.
Yeah.
Do it. Whoa. Talk sheep.
Well, and I mean, we see this clearly. I'm thinking of when we're raising children, right?
Yeah.
Because the old monkey see, monkey do.
Yeah.
The old children learn best, and they really learn most from what they see us doing.
Yeah.
Than what they hear us telling them to do.
Right.
Right. And so, you know, we're not much different than children as we grow into adults. We learn who we are to and towards each other more by the actions, what we see and feel energetically, than what they say. And we know this. You know, people could say a whole bunch of garbly goop, but if it's said in the right tone and you're dressed appropriately and you're making the correct gestures, you can seem like you know something. Right?
Okay.
I found that to be the case.
Yeah. Well, and so it's not much different here.
I think
this speaks towards authenticity too.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It ultimately, the thing that matters is our follow through, right? Mm-hmm. What are we going to do? I mean, you know, I know you talk to clients about it. Jay, I'm sure you do. I do. It's, you know, it's like other people can only see, you know, we've got all of this stuff churning down below the surface, right?
Right.
All the things that we feel and our emotional self and all of that. But the only thing we know that. Yeah. We're in touch with that, hopefully. Some of us more than others.
Well, that's counseling can help you do that.
That's the goal of a lifetime to get in touch with that.
Right. But what other people can see is only
what we do, our behavior.
Right. So, you know, I think that ultimately we can say a lot of things, we can make a lot of promises, we can give a lot of advice, but how do we follow through? What do we do?
Actions can't lie.
Yeah. Never leave that till tomorrow, which you can do today.
That's really hard.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, and can we, I try to avoid the S word as much as I can, right? Should.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm really, in the last few years.
Directed at yourself?
Well, even directed at general. I mean,
don't shit all over yourself or other people.
Yeah, I really try to be conscious of how much I am shooting.
Mm-hmm.
But could I use a should here? Anything that can be done now should be done now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'll go with that. It's something that I try to do, and I've learned this the hard way. If there's something that I know I need to do, and there's this hierarchy of things I need to do.
Yeah.
It really works out well if I do the hardest one first.
Ooh, yeah. That is so
true. And you know what I find, David? What I find is that it doesn't have all the hair on it, all the problems on it, all the difficulties
that
I built up in my head.
Yeah.
But the longer I put it off, the hairier it gets.
You know, it's fascinating.
Then I do, and I go, dang.
It's pretty bald.
That wasn't that hard.
It's fascinating. One of my very favorite books is, and it's a book that turned my life upside down. It's called The Road Less Traveled by Scott Peck.
You don't say.
Everybody needs to read that.
They really do. And there's Scott Peck tells a story in the book of him working with a very successful lady who just really had an issue with, you know, how the issue that we're talking about
putting
here.
Off
putting off and
tomorrow what could be done today.
Yeah. And basically, she was miserable at work. And I mean, they had turned it over and looked at it from a lot of different perspectives, right?
Right.
And, you know, she would come in and do the things that she loved to do and get them out of the way in 30 minutes. And then the rest of the day was agonizing, right?
Yeah. Is this the how do you eat cake story?
That's exactly right. Yeah. That's exactly right. And he said, you know, all of a sudden I asked her, and you know, how do you eat cake?
Mm-hmm.
And she looked at him like, are you crazy? But she said, I eat the icing first. And that led to an aha moment, you know, that I think we could all be reminded of, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you can come in, and what she did after that session with him and the aha moment is, okay, well, let me get the difficult things out of the way and do that in the first 30 minutes or an hour. The rest of the day is then very pleasurable.
Right.
Makes all the difference in the world, right?
It really works.
Yeah, it does. A penny saved is a penny earned. Mm-hmm. Gosh. You know, early in my career as a radio guy, we were on Keel Radio was on Spring Street,
right?
And Northwestern Mutual Guard Rate Weights Agency back then it was Guard Weights Agency, and a guy named Ernie McDaniel, one of the best salespeople. Insurance guys, finance guys. I mean, he evolved through the years. Was, you know, right across the street. I don't know how many insurance policies Ernie sold me.
A lot. He was pretty famous in the industry. I did that for 7 years.
And I'm sure you were very good at it.
I was pretty good landlord.
I wish I had, you know, a penny saved is a penny earned. I wish I still had those policies. I wouldn't have a whole lot to worry about if I still had them. You know, but through the years, you do the things that young people do, and, you know, you think, oh, well, I got to have this, and I got to have that. But, you know, saving money does matter. And knowing that we have enough to get by and then some goes a long way in keeping the psychological peace, if you will. And, you know, I guess I probably needed to have a little Ernie McDaniel on my shoulder.
Well, that was dumb.
Whispering in my ear.
Can't believe you bought that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, just a good reminder. The wise man draws more advantage from his enemies than the fool from his friends. Yeah.
Say that one again.
The wise man draws more advantage from his enemies than the fool from his friends. Ben Franklin said that.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of the saying, keep your friends close, but your enemies closer?
Sure.
And pay attention?
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, if you do that, you know, we realize, and I think some of the wisdom of Benjamin Franklin. It's like, you know, we just the very fact that we would quote unquote use the label enemy.
Right.
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 And we could get off into that, but you know, there really are no enemies, but
no.
I'm using air quotes enemies.
Mm-hmm.
If they're an enemy, then they have so much to teach
Yes,
us.
So much power over you in that moment if you're because you're giving it away by calling them an enemy.
Like Miss Hutchinson.
You know, the thing is, here's the thing.
Swift.
You know, it didn't make any sense. I mean, you know, I'm giving him a D, but he doesn't deserve a D. But you know what she did?
Motivated.
You know what she did? This is fifth grade now. She put me into a group called Great Books.
Oh.
And so there was a male and a female in the class,
mm-hmm.
you know, that were put in Great Books. And each, for about 5 or 6 months, we were given books to read. Mm-hmm. And once a month, we would go over to St. Joseph's. I was at Christ the King. We would go over to St. Joseph's and, you know, we would get from all of the Catholic schools around would get into groups and talk about talk about our books. I mean, Little Women, Black Beauty, Miracle on 34th Street.
So she saw your potential. She just had a different way of trying to tease it out of you. Yeah.
Can you say pissed off?
But
can you say it doesn't make sense?
Can you say maybe mirroring your inner critic?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there you go.
You're saying keep my enemies closer.
Okay. That's it.
Talking about the words of Ben Franklin today. And I'm desperately trying to get some counseling here. Yes. I'm not sure how much I'm getting.
All right.
We'll be back. More strategies in a moment.
We all have problems every day. We all need help along the way. We need strategies for living. Lady Radio.
And welcome back into Strategies for Living. Lauren Leon McMillan trying to keep Jay Merle and David McMillan.
Oh, I'm not even going to say I'm attempting to try to do that. That's
We're both going back into our, don't we all have that colander from the past that we just
sift,
like to nurture,
that's far.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's not a colander, but it's a container.
Yeah.
A colander would have holes in it.
It would be better.
And let it strain
it's
out.
Still there.
Yeah. But it stays.
Yeah.
And it's there.
But it causes us. You know, you read those great books, and
did you hear me? I'm 69 years old. What? Mm-hmm. How old are you in the fifth grade? 12?
Mm, yeah, 11.
No, 11?
11.
Okay, so how many years is that? 50-some-odd years later, I can still reel off several of the books
because they had that big of an impact.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, here's another quote from Ben Franklin that I think might kind of fit in at the, and maybe help Jay and I a little bit. Anger is never without a reason, but seldom with a good one. Yeah.
I think that's generally true. I'd say, there's maybe, I don't know what percentage it is. I believe that there are times when it's justified to be angry.
Well, yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
But in my own experience, when I go to anger, it shuts down a lot of my more valuable senses, like, reason.
Mm. Yeah.
That's a pretty handy one to have occasion.
And so it just kind of, plus anger is a drug.
Yep.
Because especially the flash of anger, you do get a little shot of something, maybe dopamine, I don't know, but it's gone in a nanosecond. And then there's the remorse.
Yeah.
That always, at least in my case, always follows.
Yeah, depending on what you've done with the anger, how you've channeled it.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
Yeah, I think anger serves a purpose.
Absolutely.
And it's a human emotion, so there are times and places that we should use it and can use it, but it's, we've got to also understand that it's oftentimes it can be destructive.
Right.
Absolutely.
And it can be pointless sometimes.
Well, I think of a healthy anger as that really strong sense of fire that kind of rises up from within you, and it usually indicates there needs to be a boundary here.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're able to set that boundary for yourself and others, anger can be a very appropriate emotion, and it can be used appropriately in that way. But what we as a society tend to do is kind of blast that firewall out, like a fire blaster, rather than using it as a brief indicator of I need a boundary.
Being ignorant is not so much a shame as being unwilling to learn.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fine not to know something. I mean, it's okay.
We're all ignorant of something.
And it's important that we know what we don't, or know that we don't know everything, right?
Right.
But it's also not okay to never want to learn.
No, that's called stupid, which is hard to fix.
What we want to do, and I say this often on this program, I want to be up until the last breath, if I can be, a curious student.
Yeah.
I want to go out a curious student.
Yeah.
And you know, is there? I think that more than anything else is a way to assure that I'm going to continue to grow.
Absolutely.
You know, that's yeah. my thought anyway.
And it's the opposite of ignorance, because if you look at the word, I mean, ignore is in there, right? And I think that's at the root of ignorance a lot, is that, you know, we ignore the opportunities to learn.
Right.
Whether they be formal education or informal.
I love that Ben said this next thing, because he's had a lot of things written about him.
Yeah.
He said, either write things worth reading or do things worth writing
about. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that great? Isn't that great?
Yeah. I've always liked
so,
that one.
You know, creation. It's about what are we bringing into the world? The aim, you know, for all of us probably needs to be, what are we, you know, to ask ourselves, what are we creating of value in the world?
Yeah.
And
that doesn't have to be what we traditionally consider to be creative arts. You know, it doesn't have to be writing, or it doesn't have
to
be
so many things.
It could be relationships. It could be theories. It could be systems, you know, ideas.
Absolutely. So write something of meaning and significance, and live an interesting life that's worth writing about. You put those things together, and man,
and
you're going to impact the world.
And don't forget that you're writing it.
Yeah.
You're the author.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Blessed is he who expects nothing, for he shall never be disappointed.
That's a good way to live.
Charlie Munger said, the key to a happy life is low expectations. So if you aim low enough and you keep your expectations to a minimum, it's impossible to be disappointed with the outcome.
Yeah.
I wonder how many of us kind of unconsciously live with that idea inside of us. And it keeps us from, you know.
I think you'd be happier if you, you know, owning a business and having employees.
Mm-hmm.
That's a real important, you know, you have expectations and you tell people what you expect of them. And sometimes, you know, usually they pull it off. But when they don't, if you scream and yell, sometimes they just leave.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you don't want that.
No, no.
Yeah.
Yeah. So again, it's a balance. It's a balance
it
situation
is.
Because
when they throw their keys down on the desk of their truck and go, I'm out of here, you might have pushed a little too far.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the easiest thing in the world for a man to deceive himself.
Oh. Mm.
So, you know, we probably lie to ourselves more than we lie to anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Do I believe everything that I think and justify my terrible choices and overestimate my abilities and have a phenomenal ability to swerve and ignore the uncomfortable truths? So, I mean, an honest self-reflection of ourselves may be one of the hardest things that we have to do in the world, but it may be one of the most important things that we can do in the world. Yeah.
No doubt.
Yeah. Last but not least, beware of little expenses. A small leak will sink a great ship.
Mm.
Mm. Yeah, you know, we all have our minor expenses, but minor expenses multiply over time. Yeah. And history's shown that even some of the wealthiest individuals on the planet can be financially devastated if the spending gets out of control.
Mm.
And so, you know,
to quote Ernest Hemingway.
Yeah.
I went broke slowly and then all at once.
I love it. I love it. The wisdom of Benjamin Franklin is what we are considering today. Isn't it amazing? A couple hundred years later, you know,
human nature is
all of those words are still important, and we still need to be reminded of
them. We're still humans.
I'm sending the whole thing to Mrs. Hutchinson if I can find her address.
Doggone it.
I'll be right back.
Uh-huh.
And back with strategies for living. Yeah. Lardly on McMillan, Jay Merle, David McMillan.
David, I just got a text.
Yeah.
I want to share it. Just we have a person that's a loyal listener to this show.
Yeah.
That I just got a text from. He's a family. I never had a brother, but the closest thing that I ever had to a brother was my cousin Phil.
Hey, cousin Phil, thank you for listening.
Cousin Phil had a little scare with the big C, and he just texted me that his biopsy came back. He does not have the big C.
Oh, congratulations. Thank God. Thank the good Lord.
Great news, cousin Phil.
Yeah, yeah. Fabulous news.
Glad to hear it.
You know, thank you for listening, and hey, take care of yourself.
Yeah.
You know, when we get certain things like that, and we all get them in our life, right? They're kind of knocks on the door. They're reminders. Hey, take care of you. You know, be good to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Better than crashing an airplane.
You may delay, but time will not, right?
There you go. There you go. All right. What's our takeaway from today?
The wisdom of Ben. Ben was a wise guy. some takeaways that kind of span all the quotes for me are to invest in your growth. Mm-hmm. Invest in your growth and knowledge, action, speak louder than words.
Be a lifelong learner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And to be a master of yourself. You know, learn from your enemies just as you do, if not more, from your friends.
I see Ben sitting over there on the couch with his little glasses.
Spectacles.
Ben
little
Franklin glasses.
Yeah, and he's nodding. He's nodding his head at you two. And Mrs. Hutchinson sitting right next to him, and he just slapped the heck out of her.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, she's on the floor, David.
Way to go.
Folks, thank you for tuning into Strategies for Living. I really am going to get help after this. Thank you for tuning into Strategies. We appreciate you, and we appreciate our sponsors, the Robinson Film Center, and Azalea Cleaners, and Pintail Roofing,
roof, roof.
And Learning RX, and the Balanced Life Wellness Center, and Fertitta's Delicatessen, home of the Godfather, alligator Italian sausage, and some pretty good muffies, too. If today were the last day of your life, you only had one more phone call to make, who would you call? What would you say? Why are you waiting? Make the call for Lauren Leon McMillan, for Jay Merle, for Mrs. Hutchinson. I'm David McMillan. See you next time right here on Strategies for Living.